I hear the sound of your voice. All at once it's a gentle and thundering noise. Oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming.
Hey, well, today we're going to be talking about experiencing God's peace. You know, I've been praying for a while about what to speak on. And the last few weeks I've been covering, you know, how to respond to the COVID-19. I think it was appropriate to just kind of take a look at that for us as a church, as a whole, and as Christians on a personal level. Like, you know, what take are we supposed to have on all of this? And so that's been kind of the focus. And so, you know, my concern was like, well, am I supposed to just abandon, you know, that theme altogether and then just focus on a Resurrection Sunday message or what? So I was really praying through that. Well, this last week in my own personal time with the Lord, I was in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 20, and I feel like God actually brought the two together for me. He's like, no, you don't have to throw this one out, or you don't have to throw that one out. It's not exclusive. He brought these two together of how to continue dealing with COVID-19 and the season of life that we're in this world, as well as focusing on a resurrection message. And so I was pretty excited when he did that. That's when you know the Holy Spirit's hand is on it. And I'm excited to share it with you today, and I hope you're blessed by it. So we're going to be talking about how to experience God's peace. And I think, you know, a lot of us could use a little more of God's peace in our life these days. The world doesn't have a lot of peace to offer us. It's offered us a lot of panic, but not peace. And even this morning, as you're sitting probably in your home or at your house, you know, somewhere watching this, you may even have a little unsettled feeling in your heart about how we're even doing, you know, the celebration of Easter this year. And it just, you know, a little uneasiness. And I get that because I kind of have it too. I mean, let's be honest here. I'm the one staring at a camera doing this right now, and I'm just like, this isn't right. This isn't, you know, how it's supposed to be. But it is what it is, and we know that we're going to get through this. Based on that, I was just thinking, man, no, I could really use God's peace, an increase of peace in my heart and in my life. And I'm just going to assume that most of us are probably in that same boat these days. Now, the scriptures have a lot to say about the peace of God. All the way from Genesis to Revelation, there's verses after verses of verses about experiencing God's peace. But specifically, even in the ministry of Jesus, Jesus had a ministry of peace that he was going to administer, which he did during his public ministry, and which he would continue to do even after he ascended into heaven. But it's interesting, though, that a few hundred years even before Jesus stepped foot on earth as a man, as the incarnate God, there was a prophecy that came forth from Isaiah. And Isaiah 9:6, traditionally a Christmas passage, but we know that God's word is actually profitable for all seasons, not limited to just one season. But in that passage, it actually gives him the title of Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. So even before he comes, he's got this reputation that precedes him as one who is a master at administering peace, if you will, the Prince of Peace, someone who's above all peace and is able to give it at will and provide it. That's going to be key to his ministry. When Jesus was born in Luke chapter 2, and the angels appeared to the shepherds in the field, they actually made this declaration about Jesus, and they said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." So even at the moment of his birth announcement, they were talking about the peace that he would be bringing in his ministry. And because of him coming as a Savior, he was going to have some peace for us that we'd get to experience. Paul would go on in his writings, even after Jesus was resurrected and ascended, to call him the Lord of Peace. So I want to know, like, what can we learn about this peace this morning? One of the first impartations of Jesus' post-resurrection ministry was to give his peace and to pass his peace on. And that's what we're going to read about in John chapter 20, beginning with verse 19. And if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open up with me this morning. And while you're turning there, I'll just set a little context to where we're going to pick it up at. But it's, you know, Thursday evening, Jesus had the Last Supper, the Passover meal. He was arrested in the garden on Thursday night. Friday, he was put on trial. Friday, he was handed over to be crucified. He was, you know, beaten and tortured, and he was nailed to the cross. He hung there Friday afternoon, and he gave up his spirit. And on Friday, he died, and his body was taken down and laid in a tomb. The stone was rolled in front of it. On Saturday, a guard was placed in front of the tomb in fear that somebody would come and steal the body. And then not much else happened on Saturday. Then Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, a couple of the ladies who were going to go to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body, something that was just customary in that time, but they didn't get a chance to do it when he was first buried, so now they're going to go do it. They get to the tomb, the stone's been rolled away, they got this empty tomb there, and they're just, what's going on here? And then his angels appear to them and say that the one you're looking for, he's not here, he's risen, and they actually encounter Jesus as well. They go back and try and spread the message that, hey, Jesus is risen, but, you know, people are skeptical and they don't want to believe it. I mean, they want to believe it, but, you know, that's a hard thing. Like, really? He raised from the dead? And so this is the first day of the week. Now, that happened. The ladies went to the tomb the morning of the first day of the week, which would have been Sunday morning. And now Sunday evening, here we pick it up in John chapter 20, verse 19. It says, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So the question I want to answer is what does God's peace mean to us? How do we experience it? How do we, how does he minister that to us in our life? And I hope to kind of just explore that a little bit this morning. If you have your notes from the email or the website, I encourage you to take a look at those. You can follow along there. But number one, my first point is if we want to experience God's peace, we need to know that it comes through faith. God's peace comes through faith. That's faith in Jesus Christ, to clarify there. Now, if there's one message this morning that I think is more important than any other message to be heard, especially on a day like today when we're remembering the day that Jesus raised from the dead, that he conquered death, that he went to the cross, and you know, he didn't stay on the cross, he didn't stay in the tomb, he ascended into heaven. There's a reason for that. And that reason is because he wanted to have a personal relationship with you and with me. He wanted us to have peace with God. And so he came and he lived a perfect life, a sinless life on earth. And then he died a sinner's death. He paid the penalty for our sin, which is death, so that we wouldn't have to. The scriptures teach that we as sinners, the penalty for our sins is death. But because he did it, in him, our sins are covered. Talks about his blood covering our sins and providing forgiveness for us. And so we can have a personal relationship with him and have a relationship with the Father. This is why he did what he did. This is why Easter is so significant. As fun as, you know, egg-laying bunnies are, right? As much as I enjoy eating chocolate, an abundance of chocolate, I love it. Love Cadbury eggs. I love the Cadbury Robin eggs too. Those are some of my favorite. But that's not what it's about. That's just fluff stuff. That's all going to pass by the wayside. What this is about is the relationship, the bridge that Jesus built between us, fallen humanity, and the holy God. And he stepped into that gap so that we could have a restored relationship. The Bible says that if we want to have this relationship with Jesus, it says we just have to confess with our mouth, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. That's what Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 10. And what are we saved from? We're saved from eternal damnation. We're saved from having to spend an eternity in fire, in hell, apart from Christ. And see, that's what our sins deserve. But Jesus, through him, because of what he did on the cross for us in conquering death, right, he provided a way out of that. He took on that penalty for us. And so this is wonderful news. This is really, really good news. Paul explains to us that we have been justified or forgiven through our faith, okay, so that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. So this peace I'm talking about is a vertical peace right now. We want to experience his peace first and foremost. It has to be vertical. And we make our lives right before him. And it's important to understand that peace with God can only come through Jesus. For he said, I am the way. He said, I'm the truth. I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Now that's a bold statement. And sometimes that's hard to comprehend in our, you know, postmodern world where truth is relative and we have, you know, a billion different belief systems out there. But specifically in America, there was a study done that said that there's approximately 313 different religions represented in America. Okay? And most of those are claiming to be the way to heaven. But Jesus is saying, no, it's like I'm the only way. Jesus is the only one who lived the perfect life. Jesus is the only one who died upon the cross. Jesus is the only one that went to the tomb and didn't stay there. He came back up out of the tomb. He conquered death. There's no other Savior in all of those other belief systems that have did such a thing. And in doing that, Jesus set himself apart as the one true way to the Father. And that's important to know because he made peace by shedding his blood on the cross. That's what it teaches us. And so we have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. So we want to experience peace first and foremost. We have to place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the most important message and my most important point this morning. I don't know where you're at in your life and where you're tuning in from. I know this is going online. It could be anyone, anywhere. Or maybe you're someone who's actually a regular attender of a church body, our church body, and you're saying, you know what? I don't know. I don't know that I actually have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. But here's my encouragement. The time is now. Do it now. Submit your life to him. Call upon him so that you will be saved. Amen? I know I can't hear you say amen, but I just, by faith, trust that you acknowledged that amen. Moving on, my second point, we want to experience God's peace. We got to know that his peace comes to settle our fears. This is one of this is the evidence that we have received his peace. So say we've been walking with him for a while, we've already made the vertical peace, but we can still have a sense of unsettledness, a sense of even fear in our lives, even if we have a relationship with him, though it's not what he wants us to have. His peace wants to settle that fear. And we look at this passage here in Scripture, and we see that Jesus, who appears to his disciples, he comes to them, and they were what? They were in a room, and they were behind the closed doors, and those doors were locked because it says that they were afraid. They feared the Jewish leaders. They were locked up in fear. And they were not out there being who, you know, God had intended them to be and called them to be as his witnesses. And so Jesus shows up and he says, my peace be with you. So the first thing he does is he imparts his peace to his disciples who are living in fear. There's a song written by a newer artist. He's been around for a few years, but his name is Zach Williams. It's called Fear is a Liar. Maybe you've heard that. And in that song, he personifies fear, and fear speaks many, many lies to us. And some of those, he says that how fear will tell us that we're not good enough, we're not right, we're not worthy, we're not loved, we're not beautiful, and so forth. And if you believe, you know, these lies, you know, long enough, you're going to find yourself behind closed doors that are locked, living in fear, just like the disciples were doing right here in this passage. So I know that we as believers, we need the reassurance of Christ's peace in our life on a regular basis. So the question is, okay, so how? On the most practical level, how do I experience God's peace in my life to come and settle the fears, to settle the anxiety, to settle the uncertain feelings that I'm struggling with and dealing with. And so I have four thoughts I want to share with you under the point number two here on how to do this, real briefly. First one is that we must learn to trust him. We got to learn to trust him if we want his peace to settle our fears. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." Huh. Perfect peace. Like, that's a phrase there. I mean, I don't know about you, but I want to live in perfect peace. I want to experience that. I want that to be my daily walk, the perfect peace of the Savior in my life, always settling my fears at all times. But this word for steadfast, he says, the minds who are steadfast. That word for steadfast means to lean upon or to lean against or to brace yourself. Okay? So to lean into, to have a steadfast mind means that you're going to lean into Jesus as you trust him. And as you do that, as you lean into him, you're going to experience that perfect peace in your life. I'm reminded of another song, one that you're probably familiar with, titled "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." The first verse goes like this. Leaning, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. He talks about peace in there. He talks about peace a couple different times, actually, in that song. But leaning into Jesus, we get to experience his peace. And that's what Isaiah is talking about here as well. So if we're going to experience his peace, we've got to trust him, lean into him. The second thought on his peace settling our fears is that we have to love his word. We've got to have a love relationship with the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, "Great peace have those who love your law." So another way of saying that is we have great peace when we love his word, which is his law, his word. We love his word. And so it's not enough just to, to just kind of read the word and just kind of look at. It's a great start. I mean, better than the alternative of not reading the word at all. But it's actually got to go, it's got to go deeper. There's got to be some kind of hunger, some kind of desire to get into the word. And when you love something, it means you want to have an engaged relationship with it. And so the idea there is that to love his word means that we would take his word, hide it in our heart, and we would apply his word to our life. We would live his word out. Jesus says in Luke 11:28, he said that we're blessed when we take his word and we obey his word, when we apply it. He didn't say you were just blessed when you read the word, okay? Not just blessed when you quote the word, not just blessed when you memorize the word. He says you're blessed when you obey the word, when you apply it to your life. And when through the application process of his word, that's when we get to experience the transforming power in our hearts and our lives. It transforms our hearts. Right here, transforms our minds, and we get to see the fruit and the evidence of the power of his word when we live it out. I've met people before who've talked about how, they've read the word of God and it didn't do anything for them. But again, just reading it, not necessarily just going to do anything for you. It's when you live it, it's when you apply it, that's when you experience its power. And when we put ourselves in the place of applying it, then we get to experience the peace that the psalmist is talking about, that we have great peace when we love his word, when we apply his word. So my third thought on how his peace settles our fears is that we have to pray in every situation. Pray in every situation. Not only should we love his word, but we need to cry out to him in all that we do. Paul said this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, okay, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding," which is beyond our comprehension, it's, supernatural peace that does what it does, "will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So he's telling us that if we want to experience God's peace in our lives, then we need to live a life of prayer. It is impossible to live a life of peace if we don't live a life of prayer. Because what Paul's talking about here, he says in every situation, we come with prayer. Every situation, we come with petitions. At every corner, at every turn. And even Paul would write later that we have to pray without ceasing. Paul expected that a believer would live a life of prayer that was always calling out and crying out to God. And, you know, I think there's the time when we have, we go and we close the door, as Jesus talks about, goes into that secret place, and we're only the Father who sees what's done in secret. There's that moment. But then it's just going throughout the day about your business, constant communion with God, constantly praying to Him, constantly talking to Him, constantly meditating on His Word. That's a life of prayer. And I'll reiterate it, that we cannot expect to live a life of peace if we don't live a life of prayer. So that was my third thought there. My fourth thought on God's peace settling our fears is this, is that we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. God allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. Peace itself is a fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians 5:22. Paul talks about how the Holy Spirit is cultivating in our lives and in our hearts the peace that we need, that He wants us to experience. And He wants us to have that more than we even want to have it, okay? He wants us to experience everything that He has for us, but He's the one that does the work. And so we need to be reliant and dependent upon the presence of the living God within us to cultivate His peace, no matter whether it's we're in His Word reading, He's cultivating His peace. And when we're living a life of prayer, He's cultivating His peace in us. When we're leaning into Him and trusting in Him through uncertain times, He's cultivating peace. We go through our daily routine. We're at work or we're doing projects or in relationship with our family or spouses or whatever. We're relying on Him to cultivate peace in our hearts no matter what we're going through and where we're at. In fact, we look at every opportunity as a possibility, as a moment for the Holy Spirit to actually work on that peace in our hearts. You know, and the more difficult the situation or challenge is that we're facing, the greater the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to cultivate peace within us. Okay? So if we want His peace to settle our fears, friends, then we have to trust in Him. We've got to love His Word. We've got to pray in every situation. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. And then we will experience the peace of Christ in our life. My last and third final point here is that God's peace anticipates moving forward. God's peace anticipates moving forward. In the passage we read in John chapter 20, verse 21, it says, again, Jesus said, okay, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. And this time he expounds on that. He says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Why do they need the peace this time? Because Jesus wasn't going to give them the peace just so they could hang out in a comfortable room with behind the closed doors, behind the locked doors. I mean, as nice as that would have been, that wasn't the purpose of actually giving the peace. I mean, yeah, He wanted to settle their fears and let them know, like, hey, I'm on your side. And, you know, in this moment, like, you don't have anything to be afraid of. But He didn't want them just to be complacent and just hang out there. Because I think that's where it would have been, you know, felt the safest. Like, no, let's just stay here. Let's stay here. He gave them the peace because He anticipated that they would go forward, that they would move out of that room. They would unlock the door. They would open the door, and they would go out into the world where they would proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. They would be His witness. They would establish His church. They would build His church, and He would use them in incredible ways. And they needed His peace to be able to go through those doors and to go out and to minister in that fashion. It was Jesus who told them earlier when He sent them out two by two in Luke chapter 10. He said, go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. And how many know that if you're going out among wolves, you better have a peace and a reassurance that it's going to be okay and you're right where God wants you to be, right? And He's going to take care of you. Because if you don't have that peace and reassurance and you're out among wolves in a hostile environment, there's going to be a lot of fear, and you're going to find yourself right back into that room, hiding, excuse me, and closed door, locked door, and not wanting to go out and do anything. So His peace came to them so that they could move forward in the ministry and in who God had called them to be. Paul told the Philippians, he said, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And so what Paul's saying here in Philippians 4:9. He's saying, put into practice your ministry. Whatever that ministry is for you, you put it into practice and the God of peace is going to be with you. It's interesting that he uses that title when he's calling the Philippians out to step out and to serve, to step out into minister in God's kingdom. He's saying the God of peace will be with you because he knows it can be nerve-wracking. He knows that there can be a fearfulness of stepping into that role in the very first time and even for a duration of time. And we need his peace. You know, I'm just reflecting on my own time when, I knew that God had called me to be a teacher of his word, which meant that I had to get up in front of people. And I'm just remembering back the first time I ever, preached my first sermon and how much, I guess, fear is what it was. I had a lot of fear inside of me. And, and I remember shaking, like, and so I just imagine, like, there's a lot of people who would have that same sense of feeling when they're stepping out in faith. Even in a different context, just trust in the Lord. Okay, God, this is what you want me to do. But there's an unsettledness inside of us. But the Holy Spirit wants to provide that peace for us so that we can confidently, in Christ, move forward in the ministry that he has called us to do. And guess what? Jesus, in the very next line here, says that in John 20:22, and with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And so the wonderful news for us is that we're not actually going out into the ministry on our own. We're not stepping out of those doors by ourselves. Okay, we're not going out into the world, okay, amongst the wolves, unprotected and not empowered to do what God's called us to do. He's given us his Holy Spirit to do that with. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings about the peace. And so I just want us to be encouraged that if we experience God's peace in our life, remember this, friends, especially if you're a believer and you've been a believer for a while, know that God doesn't give us our peace in our hearts so that we can actually just sit down and just be comfortable. He gives us the peace so that we can move forward, so that we can say, okay, God, what is the ministry that you've given me? And maybe it's a little scary, but that's okay. You get to trust in him. And again, it's an opportunity for that peace to manifest itself in your life in a way that you've never experienced before. And he'll do that. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. Hey, I'm going to close out this morning with a verse that I shared a few weeks ago, I think when we were first heading into this COVID-19 stuff. And it's Romans 15:13. And it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I love that verse. I'm going to read it just one more time. Listen to this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Now, earlier I emphasized the hope in that passage because we were talking about being agents of hope. But right now I want to emphasize the peace. His desire is that we would be filled with his peace, filled with joy and his peace by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to suggest this, though, that if we are going to go out to be the agent of hope that we talked about here a few weeks ago, that we first and foremost have to have his peace in our hearts and in our lives. We have to experience that peace. It's hard for us to go and present hope if we're not at peace ourselves. Like, what hope are we presenting? It has to flow from our heart that's encountered the living God and his holy presence within us. It's brought us to that point where now we get to be those agents of hope. So, hey, just a couple questions to consider this morning. Then we'll be done here. Do I have peace with God through a personal relationship with Jesus? And if not, do I want to? Okay? I don't know where you're at. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you that and your heart is at that point where you're like, you know what, I need a relationship with him. Like, I'm ready. I'm at that place in my life, where I'm ready to surrender it all and give it to Jesus. I want you to know that's actually very simple. You just need to acknowledge to him in a prayer form, your own words. There's no special, certain type of prayer or format here. In your own words, acknowledge to Jesus that you know that you're a sinner and that you want and desire his forgiveness in your life, okay? And then say, Lord, and will you come and live inside me with your Holy Spirit and be my Savior and be the Lord of my life. I submit it all to you. Okay? That's a very simple way of entering into relationship with Christ. And if you've done that, you go into this relationship with him. Now, I'm going to warn you, though, that Christ, following Christ isn't for the faint-hearted. Following Christ is a dedication. It's a radical commitment to running after him. And so if you go into that relationship, be ready. Be ready to be all in. Be ready to serve him wholeheartedly. Okay? That was my first question to consider. Next question to consider is, how can I grow in his peace in my life? Okay? Do you need more trust? You need a deeper desire for his word? Do you need to establish a prayer life? Do you need more dependency on the Holy Spirit? What is it? What area spoke to you and challenged you in increasing his peace in your life and overcoming and settling those fears in your life? Okay? The last question to consider is, am I moving forward in my kingdom ministry, and do I have his peace as I do? Okay? He wants you to move forward. He wants you to experience his peace as you do that. Question is, are you moving forward? Right? Have you gotten up out of the seat right there as we picture the disciples, and you've gone to the door and you've unlocked it, you opened that door and you've gone out and said, God, okay, I'm going out as your witness. I'm going out amongst these wolves. I'm going out to do what you've called me to do and to be who you've called me to be. Have you done that? Have you made that decision? Friends, I hope that you were encouraged this morning with the message of God's peace and experiencing that vertically and then experiencing that work just within our own hearts and then experiencing it as we go out as well. Join with me in prayer, my friends. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the work that you did on the cross. We thank you for going into the tomb. We thank you for conquering death and rising again on the third day. We thank you that you ascended into heaven and that you sit at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you are returning for your church someday, possibly even soon. But only the Father knows the day or the hour when that will happen. But God, until that happens, we desire to continue living for you. And we just ask that as we do this and we go through this COVID-19 season here or other trials and tribulations that people are facing, Lord, that you would impart your peace to us, Lord. You would impart that peace. We would know and experience you as the Prince of Peace in a way, Lord, that we have just never known you before. That we love you, give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Jesus, in your loving name we pray. Amen.